Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone!
Swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
What's up? Welcome back to Play Testy. It is episode 219. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. Got the Play Testy playlist there with all of our episodes. So subscribe to WEEI and remember to hit the thumbs up on all the videos in that Play Testy playlist. Find us on the socials at Play Testy on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And Sox are coming off a series win, and the Play Testy guys are at full strength for how long has it been since we've all three of us? Because you guys had trips back to back. Sammy and Pat are both here.
Ooh.
So Sammy was in Italy for about a week, and Pat was in Portugal for about a week before that. So it's probably been 2 weeks.
I think it's longer. The last recording that we were both on would have been the May 12th drop.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Wow. So, yeah. Okay, well, we're all here, and I don't think we have any planned absences anytime soon. So we're all back, and the Red Sox are coming off a series win, which is great. It's nice to have a couple of days where you don't finish your night wanting to end it all. The problems are still the problems. Like the Red Sox still didn't hit very much this series, and the injuries continue to stack up, and so those problems aren't going anywhere. But the goal of this team needs to be take it day by day, win series, do it one at a time, and stay afloat as long as you can, because eventually, you know, some guys will come back even if it's not in the short term, and eventually you'll get Roman Anthony up here. And yes, we're gonna continue to talk about the Roman Anthony call-up situation, especially since Sammy hasn't gotten to put his takes out into the stratosphere on this show yet. But as for this weekend, I wouldn't say it was pretty. Most of the time it wasn't, but in the end, they did it. They won a series. May is done. May sucked. It's over. We're on to June, and we start June on the first day of June by winning a series, and just hopefully we can do more of that, whether it be pretty or not.
Yeah, I think setting the tone is really important in baseball over a long season, and I was saying to you guys last night, Saturday night as we record here on Sunday, really, really want to get a win in this final game against the Braves just to set the tone for June. Like you said, Gordo, May was rough. We all want to forget about that month. So to get not just a win, but a series win against a good team. I know the Braves' record isn't great, but that's a good team. You look at up and down the roster, there's a lot of talent. So have to feel good about that. I will never, ever complain about a series win. I don't care who it's against. Maybe the Rockies you could sweep. But the Braves win the series, happy, set the tone, like I said, move on. You got the Angels next and the Yankees. Hopefully a sign of things to come. And hopefully we get more than 24 hours of being happy for once with the 2025 Red Sox.
That will not happen. Illegal. Sammy, if they took 2 out of 3 from the Rockies, but they won the games 3-2, 3-2, and then they lost the finality 8-1, we would be freaking furious. We would be so mad.
Hey, it depends, like, what happened before the series. What's their record at the time? Like, yeah, it's a major league team. They may be 9-50 right now, those Colorado Rockies, but we're here to talk Sox, dude, not the 2007 National League champion Rockies.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's good. You start off, you end May / begin June with a series win. Sox are undefeated in June. We'll get to, you know, kind of like a whole preview thing, but there's a good chance or a good probability you would think that they can start June at least 3-1. They'll see both Kikuchi and Tyler Anderson, which will be tough. But yeah, off on the right foot, Gordo, like you said, by no means was this a pretty series win, aside from watching Crochet just hang his nuts. But yeah.
That's where we should start this off, is just how good Garrett Crochet is and how lucky we are to have him. Because if they had decided to just kind of run it back with last year's rotation, and let's say they brought Nick Pivetta back, because I see a lot of people complaining about the fact that Nick Pivetta is out there dominating in San Diego. I promise you, if they had brought him back, it wouldn't have just been, oh my God, Nick Pivetta is randomly good. No, he would have been the same Pivetta that we'd seen for years, because he's still in Boston with the same infrastructure, preaching the same things to him. He would have been whatever. And we wouldn't have Crochet, and we would just have no stopper, and it would just be this endless cycle of starters going 4-5 innings if you're lucky, and 4 runs, and you know the bullpen's got to carry you, and then they're going to burn out. No, like with Crochet on the mound, not only is it an entertaining product, you got 12 Ks today. I would not have personally brought him back in for that seventh inning at 99 pitches. Like, it's funny to me how a couple of weeks ago, it's like, okay, today's the day when they have no relievers. Like, we have to be careful with him specifically today. But every other day, we can push this guy well over 100 pitches every single start. I wouldn't have brought him back out for this one. But, like, did it make for the most entertaining half inning of the game? It absolutely sure fucking did. Because he goes out there, strikeout on 3 pitches, strikeout on, like, 5 pitches, then another strikeout, strikes out the side, comes off the mound with his clashed Crochet, like, rah! And it's just set the tone for the rest of the game. You don't have to eat an inning. You know, we'll get into the injuries, but Justin Slayton placed on the IL, so only having to use Weiser and Chapman today, and not having to use, I don't even know who they would have used in the inning before. Maybe they would have gone to Bernie for like the 1800th day in a row. I don't know. But having a guy like Crochet on the mound every fifth day, it gives you kind of a restart. Like, this bullpen dies out there on the stake like every day, but you get built-in off days and you get built-in Crochet days, and that kind of allows you to reset things when things look as rough with the, and not performance wise but usage wise as it has.
Yeah, he's a true stopper. He really is, like, not quite an off day for the bullpen, but it's kind of like a half day, a short day at school. You know, in elementary school, Wednesday, sometimes you get the half day. That's like the Crochet day for the bullpen. And one thing I've noticed with him, I feel like really early on in the game, you can tell which version of Crochet you're going to get. And to me, there's two versions. There's the Crochet that relies on stuff, the guy we saw on opening day, where he's not at his best, but he's still really hard to hit, and he'll still go 5, maybe up to 7 innings, allow 1-2 runs, still really good, great pitcher. And then there's the version of Crochet that we got on Sunday, today as we record, where he has his command and he has his stuff, and he's just completely unhittable. Gives up that one solo shot in the first inning, and that's it. Nothing after that. Just shut the Braves down. Got dinked and doinked with some little blooper hits.
How many hits did he allow? Because three of them were bullshit. Five hits, 3 of them bullshit. Yep. But go on.
Yeah, and he worked around all of them. He also, I mean, I don't want to harp on little things. Connor Wong has been struggling out there. There was one strikeout that Connor Wong totally took away from Garrett Crochet. Very frustrated. Even mentioned Wong struggling before this one that I'm talking about on the WEI broadcast. The Wills were talking about it. So it's Crochet without the best defensive catcher back there too, and he still just dominates. Like, exactly what we wanted. And again, I'll say it again, I think even better than we expected, which is insane because we had huge expectations for Garrett Crochet. And I'm pretty comfortably saying he's surpassed them to this point, June 1st. So what, two ERA on the button right now?
No, nuts. It's lower now. It was two before he came off of the last inning. So it's 1.98.
1.98. He's a starting pitcher. That's a really good ERA for a relief pitcher. And this guy's, it's amazing. Like, he can be not on. He can be having a bad day and still look great out there. Just a pleasure to watch. Like, every fifth day, it's like prime Chris Sale. Must watch TV, and it's the Red Sox. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, Sammy, you just said it. Aroldis Chapman statistically has comfortably been about a top five closer in the sport this year. He's got a higher ERA than Garrett Crochet, and he's blown one save. Like, that is insane. That's nuts.
I think we should have come in. I know it's a Crochet day. They don't necessarily, you feel good on Crochet days about Crochet, but you shouldn't necessarily feel good about them winning the games, because they basically run a 500 clip when he's on the mound, because they just don't hit for him. And not for nothing, after the first inning, they didn't hit for him. And if Trevor Story had been doing what Trevor Story's been doing for the majority of the season, this would have been a 1-0 Braves shutout victory, because the Sox didn't score anything after the first inning. But I thought about this morning. I woke up, and obviously, you know, the second game of the series was the first time the Red Sox have been shut out all season. Somehow, their last team to get shut out in baseball. But I woke up this morning thinking that the Red Sox were going to win, because I thought back to something that came out on Friday right before the first game started, which was that the Braves players had requested that the team don't play music during batting practice when the Red Sox are taking BP, because the Red Sox, I guess, didn't play music when the Braves took BP at Fenway a couple weeks ago. And as soon as that came out, as soon as that like little bitch behavior from the Braves came out and was out there in the stratosphere, I knew there was no way, even the Red Sox with how bad they're going, there was no way they were going to lose a series to the Braves. So coming into the third game, rubber match 1-1, with that hanging out in the stratosphere, with the Braves players having done that, there was no chance that they were going to be rewarded with a series win. So I should have known that Crochet was going to have 12 punchies today and the Sox would actually score a few runs.
That's so dorky, man. Why don't they challenge the Red Sox to a pillow fight after the game, too, while they're at it? That's like, what? You play music for us. We're not going to play. And it's the Braves, too. The Braves are cool. I feel like that's a cool team. Like Atlanta, cool city, hip-hop city. A lot of rappers come out of there. Good sports town. Falcons, popular. Hawks, whatever.
Cool players.
R.I.P. for the Thrashers.
They have aura. A lot of them.
Yeah, Acuna, Harris is cool, Albies, but like, what the fuck? That's dorky as hell. Just very, very dorky. Not like disappointed in the Braves, just kind of confused.
Like,
I don't even think that's enough to like galvanize the Red Sox and be like, dude, they turned off the music on us. We got to get, like, it's dorky. What are you doing, Braves?
That's not something that can galvanize a team. No way. But the baseball gods are not going to reward that. Like, if the Red Sox, like, what, like the game presentation crew that probably decides whether or not the other team is hearing music or not in BP, what are we doing?
The players on the Red Sox probably had no idea that they didn't play music during the Braves batting practice at Fenway. Like, it's stupid.
If you're the Braves, you don't like it, then do what the Mets did. They brought a boombox and they played their own music.
Yeah. There you go. Dorks.
Well,
dorks.
Bitch boy behavior.
You know who else brought a boombox? The 2018 Yankees. Dorks.
Oh.
Dorks. Dorks. That was the best. I love that Aaron Judge did that. Never forget.
Never forget it. Do we want to talk about one more good thing before we get into some of the other stuff? Does anybody have renewed faith in Trevor Story after this series? I'm not there, but I was happy to see him produce.
I don't know about renewed faith. I kind of have been in the same. Well, okay, let me back up. I think it's fair to say I'm pretty patient with these guys. I'm not a big like fire this guy, change this. Like I'm content waiting things out a lot of the time. I was pretty damn close to being like completely pulled the plug on Trevor Story. So I don't want to be like, oh, I never was panicked. I did notice his stance is a little bit different. He's not draping the bat over his shoulder like he had been, and he looks a little more athletic. And then on the radio, Middlebrooks was talking about how Story kind of he alluded to Story might have been a little bit overwhelmed with all the data and analytics he was getting from the Red Sox, which, you know, credit to the Red Sox. They have all that information available. But for some guys, that's helpful. For some guys, it's overwhelming. Sounds like it was overwhelming for Trevor Story. So he was saying to Middlebrooks, I just got to go out there and play baseball, simplify everything. And it worked all three games, too. I know he didn't have hits in the second game, and he still struck out a bit, but the contact was hard. Running well still. The defense is not as good as it once was, but it's fine. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he went on another heater. I don't know if he's ever going to be close to the guy that the Red Sox thought they were getting. The guy who played in Colorado for years and was an all-star multiple times, but it's nice to see him produce and not be, I mean, he was a complete negative for almost an entire month. So I think we'll all take anything out of Story at this point. So good to see, happy for him.
So Pat on the last podcast, we had kind of a discussion. Pat, you opened it by saying, correct me if I'm wrong, that you DFA Story or you were close to that. And I said I would keep it. I would be totally open to moving him to the bench, but I wouldn't DFA. Where are you at right now?
Yeah, I had said if you had Bregman, you DFA. Right now, okay. You can't. You bench right. him. That, yeah. I mean, I'm probably about the same. I did notice that his stance did change. His bat's more upright. He's more... I think the other thing, too, is like... the thing, as bad as Trevor Story's been, he's a smart baseball player. Like, he has to know that he's swinging and missing on fastballs down the dick, and he's chasing sweepers in the dirt and outside. That being said, if he's being overwhelmed by data, I'm sure he was approached with all kinds of numbers to show him how bad he was on those two pitches. And I feel like once you know that and have like the numbers behind that, you don't want to do it so badly. You do it even more.
Yeah.
This series, it just looked like he was more relaxed at the plate. Like there was a stretch there for about 2 or 3 weeks where you knew he was going to strike out in like four pitches. Today he was, or this series, I mean, was jumping on the first pitch. He was taking those balls in the dirt. Like, it was just a much better eye at the plate. It was a more aggressive at bats, and it worked well. He had a great series.
Got to inside pitches too, which is something he hadn't been doing.
Yeah.
So he could turn on the ball, which is nice. I still don't feel great about anything on the outer half with him. Best thing would be to lay off of it, which he didn't do it fully in the Brave series. Like I said, he still struck out quite a bit, which is the big issue with him. But, you know, baby steps. He's still a guy with a very impressive pedigree. I would call him a guy with, you know, he still has, I don't know if you want to call it a ceiling since he's been in the league for a while, but we know what he can do. We've seen who he is. So
this year too. Yeah. Come on. Like this year, if it was for a week and a half, we did see it. So I think it's fair.
Yeah.
It's fair. But I know what you're saying. He has a ceiling that a guy like, let's say, Nick Sogard doesn't have.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I don't want to be like, I never gave up on Story. I was damn close to being like, just get rid of the guy. But then kind of like what Pat said, with Bregman gone, you really can't. So maybe the Bregman injury saved me from having a bad take.
I think it would have been a fair take. Pat, you go ahead.
Yeah. One thing, cause I know we're going to get into some dark shit. One thing I do want to point out today cause last episode we were kind of critiquing Cora and how the game plan has to change and how it just didn't feel like you're feeling like that magic touch this year. Great job by him today to kind of have a pulse on the team and not put Campbell at first, even when he said he was going to, and keeping Toro in there. Cause Toro went 2-for-4 today. He's been like by no means
one of the MVPs of the series. One
yeah, great, but, man.
And then on top of that, like by no means a gold glover, but he's not like inept over there. Like he's dug some balls out. Like he's perfectly fine over there.
The stretch in the first game won them the game.
The stretch today on that diving snag by Story, I think he even might have picked that one. They scored 3 runs, and he was a big reason as to why they kept the Braves to 1-2-for-4. So credit to Cora for keeping him in the lineup. And I don't want to say like not keeping his word, but kind of playing the hot hand.
You got to take it as it comes. And with Toro, I mean, you couldn't. At this point, I mean, they optioned Sogard for a reason. I mean, Abraham Toro has won that starting first base job so long as Devers isn't willing to go out there. And yes, Toro's been great. I am still very firmly in the camp of I would want Rafael Devers playing first base to get this lineup deeper. We talked about that a ton on the radio this weekend. We talked about it last podcast. I'm maintaining that take no matter how well Rafi hits at this point. But yeah. to talk about Toro though, at this point you just ride the hot hand in that spot because it's the best you're getting both offensively and defensively. He's probably, I mean, granted, Romy Gonzalez is on a rehab stint, so at some point Romy's going to be in firmly in that mix too, if not even necessarily. He might just be the starter. I don't know. We'll see what they do there. It might be a platoon.
This series had like a few. There were a few examples of you know, like classic fan complaining about the manager or praising the manager. The first one I thought of was when he pulled Giolito, and it worked. He pulled Giolito with 4.2 innings. Then Wilson comes in, strikes out. Who is it? Olson, or he gets Olson out, and people are going, oh. Cora decided to manage. But it's like, if that didn't work, everyone would have ripped Cora to shreds. And then the same thing with this. Oh, well,
they ripped him to shreds when he pulled Bayo. Like,
yeah.
two days, the game prior.
Yeah. And then today, it's like, you're abandoning the plan. It's like, well, you want to take a hot bat out of this lineup right now? I think it's good, man. I get that it's nice that he said, hey, we're planning on using Campbell on Sunday because Crochet's pitching. It'll probably be the easiest circumstances for Campbell to get used to a new position. I get that. That's great. But him abandoning it is good. He's managing. That's what managers do. He went with a hunch and it paid off. So I saw a weird amount of complaints about that. And I don't know. I thought that was good managing.
I do got to say one thing that was also good about Cora is that he lengthened Crochet to what you were talking about earlier, where he only mentioned Weissert and Chapman. You guys know who's pitching tomorrow in the series opener against Atlanta?
It's Fitz. But he's being piggybacked which is basically
rehab start number three. You have Dobbins piggybacking after that. So you're saving the bullpen again.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Because hopefully Fitz can go, you know, 60 pitches this time, and then Dobbins can get you a couple innings after that, and then you're at a point where hopefully you're winning and you can, well, I don't know what Weissert should be available. We'll see. I don't know if Chapman will be, but
just win the game on Monday.
Here's the splits, by the way, coming into today with Abraham Toro. Against righties, he's hitting 319, 915 OPS. Against lefties, he's hitting 143, 286 OPS. Again, this is before Sunday's game, but pretty clear to me, even though he's a switch hitter, there's a platoon right there with Toro and Romy Gonzalez facing the lefties. And maybe Romy can find some time in other spots as well. I don't know. We'll see about third base. Maybe you give Story some breathers, give Meyer some time at short. The more time you get that kid at shortstop, in my opinion, the better. Because just my thing on Story is that, yeah, like you get, it's tempting because he said during the Brewers series, like, I feel close. Like, I feel like I'm right there. And then he has a good series right after. So it's tempting to see him say that and see it work and say he's, okay, here we go, he's back. But I don't personally have enough trust in his ability to hit real fastballs. And eventually, to me, I just want to see the guy who gets female cops ogling over him to be the shortstop. That's what I want to see.
And by the way, that Braves organist is incredible because we all saw that video of that female cop oogling over Marcelo, handsome Marcelo. And then today, Marcelo's first at bat, the Braves organist plays Your Body is Wonderland.
Really?
He comes up. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
He comes up to the plate. Just unbelievable. And again, Will and Will on WEI, we're talking about how great the Braves organist is. And I'm like, I've never heard these guys talk about how good a team's home That's ballpark so organist. I only really know Josh Cantor. But man, he, and then, what was it?
They played Sister Christian for Christian Campbell a bunch. I did notice that one.
Yeah, and then for Willier, it was some song where it's like, will you still love me? I don't know. Just all these funny puns. Very
Flintstones
good.
Theme song for Abreu?
Yes. Why? No, for someone.
Why the Flintstones? Wilma.
Wilma.
Nah.
Yeah, you're right.
And then Friday they did the Halloween theme for Meyer.
Who's Wilma in the Flintstones?
Oh my God!
Actually, I know Fred. I know Fred and Barney. There's, is it the dinosaur?
Isn't it the mom kind of figure?
Yes.
Mom.
Yes.
That's this might be the worst pop culture illiterate thing you have said.
When
no, he said worse.
When did the Flintstones first air?
That's not one of Gordo's worst pop culture.
No, that's not one of his worst. Omissions. It's bad. It's bad.
The Flintstones started in 1960. Give me a fucking break, you old heads. Jesus Christ. Come on.
Everyone knows talking SpongeBob
here. I can tell you SpongeBob. If I didn't know who Patrick Starr was, you could come after me for 1960.
Right. Gordo, what's Squidward's cousin's name? Don't help him.
Squilliam. Fancy son.
Squilliam what? Okay, fair. Good job. You win.
That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
I win. And then where's handsome Squidward from? I was talking about handsome Squidward the other day. What's
handsome
that?
Squidward's just handsome like a Squidward. It's like a it just pops up in one episode where he's like Chad
okay.
face.
Yeah.
Okay. I watched some SpongeBob. I watched like some, you know, Drake and Josh.
I got in trouble in high school. I got in trouble in high school for telling a person I didn't like that they looked like the Alaskan bullworm. I had to go to the principal's office.
So what? Really? Come on, why? That's such a low threshold. That's a quick hook.
I'll tell you guys after we're done recording.
Okay.
It wasn't nice.
Okay. Sammy was a dickhead middle schooler, confirmed. Yeah, if you look at the old picture of Sammy, was that from your like? Your
that was a rough time in the 1950s, wasn't it?
Yeah, there it is, Joe.
Sammy, where's that picture of you looking like with the shaved head and you're just like grimacing? You're like, you're like scowling at the camera.
I was 16, dude. I was 16 and I was really into like combat sports. I thought it was sick.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I can fight.
You were into combat sports?
Well, now it's a job. It's a little different. Anyway, yeah, I had a buzz cut. Really, really tight kind of military haircut. Looked like a douche.
A douche.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app. And has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right. Let's do the Roman Anthony thing. So where we were on this, obviously everyone in Red Sox Nation wants him to get called up, and maybe he will get called up soon. Maybe he'll get called up by the time you're hearing the podcast. Who the hell knows? They got two lefties coming up the first two games of the Angels series, so I tend to think that if he's getting called up soon, Wednesday might be the day. We'll see. But we had Brian Abraham on the radio this weekend. Let me pull up the quote because I don't want to get it wrong. Oh, actually, I wrote it down. He said a lot of excitement coming in the next couple of days. And then we all like kind of laughed and went, oh, and he said, little tease. So
Nate Eaton.
Yeah, maybe that's about Nate Eaton. Maybe it's about Blaze Jordan getting promoted to AAA. But I tend to think he's talking about Roman Anthony. I don't think they're going to have him debut against the lefty. But then again, they had Meyer debut against the lefty. So you never know, though that was definitely by necessity as opposed to just calling the guy up. And we still don't have an obvious path to where he will play. I think we've all talked about what we would do individually. But the Red Sox have not tipped their hand there. He's not called up yet. I think we all want him called up. Sammy, I got to give you the floor here because Pat and I talked about this ad nauseum on the last podcast. Where are you at on the Roman Anthony thing?
Yeah, so I want Roman Anthony to get called up. Obviously, he's major league ready. I think we all agree on that. The numbers are the numbers. I think he's around 1,000 OPS in AAA, hitting like 330. So, but here's what I think is going on. And a shout out to Red Sox Payroll on Twitter. Great account, great follow if you're a Red Sox fan. Shout out for this nugget. So, if you exclude the 2020 shortened season, over the last 10 years, zero top two finishers in the AL or NL have debuted after July 1st, which is a month from today as we record.
That's a
month from today.
Season's going to be over by then.
No, trust me. I'll make this a little better. The closest was Francisco Lindor. He debuted on June 14th, 2015, finished second in the Rookie of the Year voting, put up a 4.1 BWAR that season, 12 home runs, 22 doubles, 4 triples, 12 steals, 835 OPS, and he played shortstop, good defense there. Next is Carlos Correa, June 8th, 6 days prior, same season. He won the award, 4.7 BWAR. And then the third closest would be Yordan, June 9th of 2019. He won the award with a 3.7 BWAR, kind of a weak class that year. So those are the latest.
OPS? What was Yordan's OPS that year? Because I remember him absolutely dominating.
It was like 1,000. It was something crazy. Like just like he dominated. But those are the latest debuting. What
is his OPS that rookie year? Sorry, I scrolled right past it. All right. Here we go. His OPS that rookie year. Nope, I don't have it. What the fuck is with Baseball Reference?
It's like, here we go. Like 1,037.
824? Oh, no, that's the playoffs. What the fuck is Baseball Reference is tripping out right now for me. Here we go. 1067.
1067. Okay.
So, yeah. So if Roman Anthony hits 1067, fine. You'll give the extra year and make the playoffs and you'll be happy with it.
So the guys I'm talking about, you have two stud shortstops who both hit and play good defense. Lindor, Correa. Those two debuted on June 8th and June 9th, respectively. Then you have Yordan, who's just an insane bat. Doesn't really give you much on defense. He's probably more of a negative on defense. He debuted on June 14th. So I understand where the Red Sox are coming from. They're trying not to lose that extra year of service time with Roman Anthony. I believe their thinking is it worth it to call up Roman Anthony now, get an extra 3 or 4 weeks of him to help this young, injured, kind of underperforming Red Sox team? Or do we play it safe and make sure we keep the extra year of team control, considering that, in theory, that extra year, that's a prime Roman Anthony year, a year where he could be making like $30 million if all goes well. So, also worth noting, the 2025 AL rookie class, it's not super strong. Jacob Wilson has a pretty juicy lead right now in terms of WAR, at least 2.5. And second, you might argue, is the Narv at 1.8 BWAR. Other than that, Christian Campbell, he's fallen behind. Marcelo hasn't played nearly enough to get into the mix. You have Shane Smith, Cam Smith, Chase Mydroth, Jason Dominguez, all kind of in that second tier of rookie right now. So not only is this kind of a conservative approach with the Red Sox trying to make sure that their star prospect doesn't come in the top two for Rookie of the Year, as crazy as that sounds, it's also kind of a cheap approach. Considering at the end of the day, this is the Boston Red Sox. They can pay as much as they need and it can direct you to that $700 million offer they gave to Juan Soto in the offseason that he turned down. I would call up the kid and I'd be aggressive in paying him. And I don't want people to use this as an excuse for the unfathomably wealthy Boston Red Sox as to why they're holding Roman Anthony down. I hate that. So that's where I'm at. I get why they're doing it. I get the logic. I think it makes sense, but I think it's cheap. I had kind of hoped we moved past that with the Christian Campbell extension earlier. It appears not. So, and that's not to say that Roman Anthony would be just as easy to extend. I think he'd be more difficult to extend. But I think at the end of the day, put the best team on the field. This is a struggling team. I don't think you're relying on Roman Anthony to be the savior. You want him to be a spark of sorts. It'd be more ideal if the team was hot and then you call him up. It would be more ideal if you didn't lose that year of service time, but not everything's going to work out perfectly. So I would call him up. I get the logic. I don't love it. That's where I'm at.
The thing I keep coming back to, though, is just if you call him up and he comes in the top two of the rookie of the year voting, chances are he helped you turn your season around. Chances are if he does that, you can stay afloat until Bregman's back and maybe you make the postseason. Obviously, the worst case scenario would be he comes in second for the rookie of the year with a solid season, but it was a shitty class and he was just able to come in second and it wasn't good enough to get to the Red Sox to the postseason. They lose the year of control and they miss the playoffs. That would obviously be the worst case scenario. But to me, baseball gods have a way of punishing those who mess with the game. And yeah, the Red Sox manipulating Roman's service time, which they're so obviously doing. I mean, the way Breslow answers these questions with like these tiny little bits, if everyone needed to be as developed as they are asking Roman Anthony to be to make it to the majors, there would not be a player in the major leagues. Like the way I see this playing out is they're going to end up getting pressured to promote him in the next week, maybe two, and he's going to play really well. And yeah, I think the worst case scenario happens. I think he gets that year of service time shaved off because he plays really well. And I think because they didn't have him on the opening day roster, I might as well just say, and for a number of other reasons, they missed the playoffs. And it's a bad scenario. But the truth is, if you keep delaying his call up, I mean, if you delay it till like Red Sox payroll said July, no one wins it after July. If you waited till July to call him up, the season is probably going to be over by then. You're going to be so far out of this thing by July. You might as well wait another year to call him up. Wait till next July.
July is like the complete failsafe. You will not lose the year of control. That's why I led with that date. That is the absolute, yeah, you will not lose. Mid-June, nobody's won it later than what? June 14th? June 14th. Nobody has come in second place later than June 14th. That is 2 weeks
from
now.
What did Gary do? Wait, since when though? Because Gary Sanchez did something crazy.
Wasn't Gary 2020 though? He was like a weird season.
Yours was since when?
I took out 2020 because it was a weird season.
He wasn't 2020 though, because he was on the Yankees in 2018.
Yeah, he was the 18 team.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I don't know.
He played 53 games and he had a 1032 OPS. He hit 20 home runs in 53 games. Holy fucking shit.
That's insane.
And he came in
third, right?
He came in second.
What year was that?
2016. Came in second, AL Rookie of the Year. Who beat him?
2016?
Michael Fulmer. Red Sox legend.
Oh, man.
There's no way.
Dude, Michael Fulmer had a 5.5 war as a
rookie. No, Gary Sanchez. No. Gary Sanchez debuted October of the year prior, so I didn't include him.
Oh, yeah. He played three games.
Yeah, so he debuted earlier. But, man, yeah, so I get what the Red Sox are doing. I don't like it. And I don't like the like pejorative kind of like, of course, why would you call him up? You're going to lose this year of control. It's like, I get that, but you're the fucking Red Sox, dude.
Pay the guy.
Pay him. Yes. We shouldn't be tiptoeing around this. Like, you did it with Campbell. And I know it's not a perfect comparison. I know Roman's a better prospect. I'm aware. But still, you can pay both. If you wait and he does well in Major League Baseball, the price just goes up, too. And by the way, I see some people hypothesizing that it's about the Super 2. It's not.
If it's about that,
There's no chance. There's no chance it's about a couple million dollars years down the line.
Let's explain that out for people who don't know what that means. So
good luck.
Yeah, I'm going to have a hard time with this. So fill in the gaps if I miss anything or fuck anything up here. But the Super 2 thing, it's like every player has 6 years of control before they get to free agency. The first 3 years, they're basically earning minimum salaries. And then the second 3 years, they go to arbitration, where they get to earn more than that. And it goes up little by little each year. So like first year of arbitration, you'll earn like a couple mil. And then if you're a really good player, like we think Roman's going to be, second year, you might earn like 9 or 10 mil. And then third year, you'll get close to like Soto and Ohtani were like in the 20s and 30s by the end. And like good players will be in like the teens at the end. If you're super two, that means you were called up early in the year, but not like, it's like if you're called up between April 15th and July, or no, it's like mid early June. So like only like 20% of rookies will get there.
Yeah.
You get, and
it's like, you don't know the date either. Yeah. Like it's kind of like a, yeah, it's stupid. It's not, you get four that years is not,
of, you get 4 years of arbitration instead of three. That's what it does. And it allows the earning potential each year to go up because you were in arbitration the year prior. So he would right. earn well, more money, but it doesn't impact the team control.
Right.
So that's why we're scoffing at it.
Pennies to a major league team. This is nothing. I saw a few people, not a lot. This was not a popular opinion, just to be clear. Not a lot of people weren't saying this, but I just saw that a few times. It's service time manipulation. That's what it is. It's not the super two. And you know, people have their opinions on it. If you want to defend the Red Sox, I mean, if you want to defend the Red Sox for keeping the number one prospect in baseball in AAA while the team is struggling, so that they can keep him for an extra year rather than pay him, that is your prerogative. I would rather them just call him up and pay him.
That's where you lose. Yeah. Just pay the guy. Like it doesn't, it's just cause he doesn't want to necessarily, cause he's had some quotes where he said, yeah, I don't think I would be super interested in signing something today, but it doesn't sound like a situation where he's completely closed off to an extension in general. Maybe it's just, he wants to play a year, establish himself as a legitimate major leaguer and then go from there. And
I mean, if also you offer a guy $100 million, it's tough to say no to, I would imagine.
Yeah,
that's a lot. That's a lot. That's high.
I hope they do pay. Like if they let Roman Anthony hit free agency as like a 27-year-old, like I don't give a shit whether he gets the service time or doesn't, or if he's a free agent as a 27, 28, whatever. If they let him get to free agency with how good he's probably going to be, There's a million more problems rather than they didn't get that extra year because they called them up to try to save their season, which is in the gutter because of a million things that they've also fucked up.
Can you imagine being an Orioles fan? This is what they do. They call their guys up, don't extend them, and then let them hit free agency, and that's it. Bye-bye. It's awful.
Yeah,
I don't want to be like the Orioles. I don't want to be like that. Fuck.
Yeah, we're so far we've been the Orioles, except we haven't risen to prominence. We just got the top farm system, had a bunch of guys come up, and it hasn't amounted to anything yet. Not saying it won't, but that's just where we're at right now. We're like
long way to go. Long way to go. But yeah, I hear you.
One more thing I want to talk about. Unless do either of you guys have any last thoughts on Roman before I pivot to one more thing before enough said? No. Okay, I want to talk about something Breslow said about Alex Cora before the second game, because I didn't hear the audio. So I do need to go back and listen to the audio, but I have the quote, and this is Craig Breslow on Alex Cora. Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of confidence in Alex's ability to lead this group. And that doesn't mean that we don't have conversations every day about what we might be missing or more we can do, but we obviously made a commitment to Alex. We're going to see that through. And right now, it's about making sure that we're doing everything we can to enable the 26 guys on our roster to help us win as many games as possible. The reason I brought that up is because that didn't necessarily, and you guys tell me if I'm stepping out of line here, but to me, that didn't necessarily sound like the greatest vote of confidence in the manager. Not saying that Alex Cora's job is in jeopardy, because I very much do not think Alex Cora's job is in jeopardy during the season. No chance. But I do think that the fact, like that quote did not inspire a lot. It just, maybe Breslow is sitting here thinking, like, maybe there's something to this sort of disconnect between Breslow and Cora. We've heard little bits and pieces that maybe lead us to believe that based off of things that Cora has said. And he did this, he was way harder on Haim in the media than he's been on Breslow, but you've heard some things in the things that Cora has said that kind of have led us to believe that maybe there's a disconnect. But hearing this from Breslow, I definitely think there's something there. And again, I don't think Cora's job is in jeopardy right now. If anyone's job is in jeopardy, it's going to be a coach, and we'll see what happens there. But with Breslow and Cora, that is a relationship that's worth monitoring, because they gave Cora a ton of money And that's an important relationship. The manager-GM relationship is maybe the most important relationship in any organization. And so we need those two to be getting along. And it scares me to kind of hear, like, yeah, we made a commitment to Alex and we're going to see it through. Ugh.
Gordo, to that end, the Red Sox paid Cora a lot of money. I think it's fair to say he was their top choice as manager. And Breslow was certainly not the top choice for GM or president of baseball, whatever the fuck his title is. So I do kind of wonder sometimes who holds the cards in this weird relationship. Like, is Cora's job security more than Craig Breslow's? I would say yes. And what does that do to the relationship? Like, if the, I don't know. But I agree, that doesn't exactly sound like a ringing endorsement. I said to you guys earlier, it sounds like what parents who probably should get divorced but aren't getting divorced because they aren't want to, you know, for the betterment of the kids, we're going to see it through. That's like what that sounds like. That's not what I think Cora and Breslow are like. That's just what it sounds like. So, yeah, apparently it was meant to be a compliment.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Weird.
It almost feels, whoa, what the heck? Sorry, fella.
We lose you?
It almost feels, am I back? Are we good? Sorry.
Yeah, you're
I
got here, a phone call. It almost feels like.
Oh, yeah. It almost feels like that it was a word short, right? If he said, like, we have faith in Alex and then all of that, or we trust Alex, then all of that, there is no real, like, I don't even know, like, no part of it really invoked their confidence in Alex, which was odd. It was more so sounded like, we are contractually obligated to have Alex Cora for the next couple of years, and we will honor that contract, which is not very much an endorsement. That's just, oh yeah, we have to do this, so we're going to do this. It was a weird quote.
Question for you guys. In that scenario, what's the ideal response that you want to hear from Craig Breslow?
I would want to hear, even if it's not necessarily what he believes, I would want to hear, Alex is our manager. We think he's doing a great job. We think he's one of the top managers in the sport. Like, right. Nobody we'd rather have running this team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wish the friggin' Red Sox would take some notes from, like, how Bill Belichick handled his tenure in New England. Like, you don't have to directly answer every, you can circular answer a lot of these questions and avoid them. You can give an answer without giving an answer. And I know people will get mad. That's more something that fans get mad about during the offseason when we want to know, like, what's going to happen with the team. But in the middle of the season, there's no benefit to the drama. I don't know. I wish Craig Breslow could just be strapped to a chair and eyes peeled open. He has to watch Belichick interviews over and over and over till he gets that kind of cadence in his head where you just never really answer any question. Not to that extreme where he literally would just repeat the same thing over and over without answering, but just learn how to not answer questions. So we're not kind of like, do you hate Cora?
Right. Exactly. Like, this shouldn't be something we're talking about here. Like, I understand if you're Breslow and the team on the field, like, you feel like you put a winner on the field and it's not winning. And then meanwhile, you also kind of hear like some backhanded jabs coming from, like, I would understand if he's a little bit annoyed that it feels like he's taking heat because of things that Cora is saying, when he feels that, hey, every single move I made during the offseason has worked and the team that we put on the field isn't winning. And I don't think it should be the blame should not be placed on me. I would understand if he's frustrated, but there's a way to answer these questions so that podcasts like us don't end up talking about the response. Yeah. And yeah, here we are, man.
I just it's not
the craziest thing in the world. We're probably not going to talk about it again unless it comes up again, but still, like, it shouldn't even be a thing. Like, they won a series. That's what they should want us talking about. But yet, how much of this podcast have we spent talking about the series as opposed to the things that, like, they're not calling up Roman Anthony. Craig Breslow is, like, backhanding the manager. Like, we're spending a lot of this podcast talking about that shit.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you school of Belichick, we would just be, glazing Garrett Crochet, talking about how the bullpen's been good. Talking about good June start. Go Sox.
I know we didn't get a lot. We didn't have time to, like, I mean, what are we really going to get into? Justin Slayton's hurt. Hopefully it's nothing super long term. That's going to hurt. I know it hasn't yet, and it's like easy like to ignore it because it's a bullpen guy and they won a game, but they're going to that's going to come back to bite big time.
I'm officially worried. I'm worried about the bullpen. I was already
none of us have been spot on the team and that
right. Right. It has been. It's been good. Weissert, by the way. Oh my God. What a freak. Where would they be without fucking Greg Weissert right now? But Hendricks hasn't been close to what we wanted. Now you don't have
Think he's pitching for the Red Sox ever again. You're not going
to. Wouldn't shock me.
Same.
Yeah. Wouldn't shock. I'm fine with that, honestly.
Yeah.
We talked about the other day, Gordo, but Slayton's a guy who, for better or worse, was on pace for 60 fucking appearances. That's a big loss. That being said, I do want to shout out Nick Birdie really quick because he has looked awesome in the limited action he has had. So hopefully that's a legit bullpen arm that can kind of be there the rest of the season because so far he's looked really good.
And we got Luis Guerrero, the best pitcher of all time, according to Red Sox Twitter. Gordo loves that.
According to Red Sox Twitter, you guys are great.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Let's do Nuff Said before we get out of here. I'll ask you guys, I'll do my Nuff Said first. It's a question. So it got me thinking. So Josh Harrison retired over the weekend. Okay. Josh Harrison, who I believe made an all-star team at one point, he's been hanging around Major League Baseball, taking any deal that he can get. And he has somehow been hanging around for a long time in like these nothing roles where I don't understand why teams were two-time All-Star. Wow. Two-time All-Star. I have no idea how he hung around as long as he did because he has not been good in quite some time. And he finally retired, quote-unquote, over the weekend. I say quote-unquote because he was definitely just like, okay, like nobody is giving me a contract anymore at this point. I've squeezed every last ounce that I possibly can out of this career. And I saw a lot of people congratulating him. And my question is, why do we congratulate a guy like Josh Harrison, who clearly doesn't want to retire. He clearly would keep getting paid and making money as a Major League Baseball player if he could. Like, it's, we should be giving him condolences. That's my
weird take. They're saying congrats on a good career. Like, of course he would like to play more. What are you gonna be like, hey man, sorry nobody wanted you as you approach
that
age? Wait, isn't he almost 39 years old? He debuted in 2011. Josh That's Harrison. Fair. He's about to turn 38.
Yeah, so like, no, it's two separate things. It should be like, in general, when talking about him, great career, man. But on the day he retires, like, he doesn't want to retire. It should be like, hey man, like, I'm sorry.
But that's,
he's
just not
happy.
That's not how socialization works. You congratulate a guy on a 10-plus
year. No, we're questioning the norms.
Send flowers to his house.
Yes.
Like he's dead but still alive.
Think about it. He probably loved his baseball career like a family member. If his family member died, we're not gonna say congratulations on your dad dying. We're gonna send our condolences. Your baseball career died today. I'm sorry. Like, better days will be ahead.
It's so different, Gordo. You're not like congratulating someone on their dad's had a good life. It's like, congrats on a good career. Enjoy the rest of your life. Like, it's so different.
He played over 1,200 Major League Baseball games and made the All-Star team twice. Congrats, man. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. No, it's two separate conversations. Congratulate him when he's not in mourning about his career.
He hasn't played in Major League Baseball in 2 years. I doubt he's in mourning. He's probably like, oh, shit, I haven't officially retired? Oh, yeah, I'm done. I'm sorry, I forgot. Probably have to, like, hit a button or, like, sign a note and be like, oh, shit.
Breaking news.
Oh,
Dom Smith has opted out of his Yankees contract.
That we don't need him. We got Abe the Bull.
I just more so meant we got Dom Smith is not a Yankee.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. By the way, Abe the Bull, people are liking our Abe the Bull nickname. Yeah. It's very natural.
Got to run with it. Abe the Bull. The PT nicknames, the Narv and Abe the Bull.
Abe the Bull. In peace to Josh Harrison's career.
Rest in peace to Josh Harrison's career. I hope you don't have trouble finding yourself in your post-playing career or whatever you decide to do in life.
You know what's really funny? Look at his baseball reference picture. He looks so sad in the picture.
Dude, yeah. This is like an old picture of him in the Pirates. He's like, shit, I'm done. Dang. Oh,
he looks so sad. This is the weirdest. How do I follow that? I don't really got much. I just got back
from Italy. You just came back from Italy. You definitely have something.
My thing from Italy was, it's like it was nice being removed. It's so funny how different it is when, like, I couldn't really watch much Red Sox because the start times, the time zone is so different. Plus, I was doing wedding stuff. I was in the wedding party, so I was busy the whole time. But from Italy, it was so easy to be like, yeah, it's a good Red Sox team. They're banged up. They're a little under 500 right now. This is fucking annoying. I wish they would stop losing in these bad ways, but you got over 100 games left. Hopefully they go on a run. I'll think of the Astros and the Mets of last year. Those teams did that. And then I wake up in the morning and I see posted on Playtesty below rock bottom. And I was like, Jesus, the boys are crashing out. What's going on?
Sammy,
but I'm not going to call you guys out and be like, guys, relax. Cause I'm Sammy, not living it.
What we did a podcast after the first Brewers game where they just did not score. And we were like, this is as bad as it gets. And then the two games in between that and when we recorded again were both blown leads in the last inning, walk-off losses.
Dude, every fucking morning that I woke up in Italy, Red Sox walked off, Red Sox walked off, Red Sox walked off. I'm like, Jesus, guys. Shit. I'm kind of glad I'm missing these games, actually. I got to watch the one where Chapman blew the save. That's the only one I saw. And then I fell asleep.
The Grand Slam game.
That was a good one, Sammy.
I fell asleep and woke up to see they lost by 4 somehow. I'm like, oh, it must have been a walk-off. Grand Slam, going back to bed.
People were doing the thing where they called those good games again, and it pissed me off. Like, no, they're bad games. Ugh.
Yeah.
No, it was just funny, like, seeing that, like, I keep reminding myself that teams were in way worse spots than this last year and made the playoffs. So then it was funny to me just to see the below rock bottom. But at the same time, I wasn't watching those specific games. I wasn't suffering through them. I was asleep. So if the Red Sox are playing poorly, go to Italy. I highly recommend it. Ugh.
Pat, you got enough said?
I do. I sent it to Joe. We were talking a lot about dorks earlier. I think you can make a real argument that there's no bigger dork in baseball than Kobe Mayo. This shit is ridiculous. Joe, if you would. He gets in a rundown.
I didn't see that angle of it before. Dude, oh my God.
Just blatantly goes out of the base path, body checks a guy. It doesn't show it in the video. The bench is clear. Kobe Mayo gets confronted by, I think that's Miguel Vargas and Sosa.
Lennon.
Just walks back to the dugout as the benches are clearing. Like, completely instigates that and then just pouts and goes to the dugout. What a fucking dork, dude. Who does
that? That was dorky. That's like, speaking of Italy, that's like soccer. So you see in soccer all the time. I didn't like that. Also, he's playing poorly too. He was wasn't he like a top 10 prospect, something insane like that, or 20 maybe?
He still is.
I believe last year he was like 9 or 10, yeah.
What if he drinks mayo? Ugh.
I'm going to try to find out where Kobe Mayo is before we wrap. Let's see. Kobe Mayo.
He's got to fallen off a little bit.
Unless he played too many games.
So going
back to... He shoved him after. I didn't realize that.
And then he walks to the dugout.
Dude, he's still number 17 on Pipeline's list, even though he's had... his third try at the majors?
So he shoved him... He's 17? He's number 17?
Number 17 yes. Still.
That's nuts. So he shoves the... Okay, so first he flops. Weak, dorky. Then he gets up, doesn't look at whoever White Sox player that was, and shoves him, still doesn't even make eye contact. I think that's soft when you don't even look at the guy that you're trying to beat.
Dude, it's so soft.
Yeah. It's mayonnaise right there. Kobe mayonnaise. That's weak. That's weak. That's the story of the Orioles season, though. They've been weak and disappointing. Feeble.
Second enough said, because I realize we're now at the 55-minute mark and didn't talk about this, but what a sick joke by the Red Sox calling up Nate Eaton and not Roman Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
We forgot to talk about that.
They're facing two lefties next week.
I don't give a shit. That's sick.
It's frustrating, but...
No, No, it's not even logic. That's a sick joke. People.
I feel bad for Nate Eaton. I feel bad for Nate Eaton.
He's probably a nice guy. Like, this is probably really exciting for him.
Doesn't talk. Very quiet.
Yeah, but...
Does not talk much.
By God. Yeah, he doesn't deserve to be caught in these crosshairs, but... If the Red Sox are calling up an outfielder that they need to add to the 40-man, and it's not Roman Anthony, holy shit.
So, Gordo, would you give condolences or congrats to Nate Eaton?
Congrats? Are you kidding? It's like the rebirth of his – it's like the birth of his career. This is great for him. He's making more money. Like, Josh Harrison doesn't have a source of income right now. We don't know if he's going to – make it as a normal. A lot of these guys don't know who they are without their sport.
He's gonna be on the Caleb Hammer financial audit.
We don't know. Some of these guys, we don't know.
Gordo.
We don't know.
We gotta
Gordo. there's a big thing that I don't think that you know. They get a pension.
Good for him. Congrats on the pension. You could say that. Congrats on the pension.
Dude, they're taken care of. He's accumulated well over 10 years of service time.
No, congratulations on the pension. Josh Harrison, man. Good for you, man. Congrats on the pension. And congratulations to you, the listener, for making it through another episode of Play Tessie. Appreciate you guys tuning in. It's episode 219. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcast and rate 5 stars. Subscribe to WEI on YouTube. You can find all our episodes in the Play Tessie playlist. Hit the thumbs up on those. And then find us on the socials at Play Tessie, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. You get the drill. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe, and for Josh Harrison's baseball career, which is now, may it rest in peace. Condolences to you, Josh Harrison. Appreciate you guys tuning into this one. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now.
You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.